Good morning, and Connie does send her regrets that she was unable to be here today. Although we did have, both Connie and I did have financial relationships at the time of submitting the abstract, we no longer do at this point. So we've gone out of that time period. So at this point, neither of us have any sort of financial relationships or anything else that we to disclose at this point. When just a little bit about Health HIV, we are one of the largest capacity building providers for HIV in the U.S. We're a nonprofit organization, and we work primarily with HRSA and with CDC. In particular, most of this data is related to a lot of our HRSA work, where we provide capacity building to primary care settings to increase their ability to offer HIV services. Skip through this. So I want to talk a little bit about this survey that we did, and this was our first survey that we did looking at HIV primary care. And essentially what we wanted to do is we know right now that the workforce is actually under strain, and particularly that's very true of HIV. We're seeing an older generation of HIV providers beginning to retire, and we're looking really to see who is actually interested in going and picking up sort of the gaps that are existing. So we want to take a look and see exactly what is happening out there in the world of primary care, and how are they doing in terms of caring for HIV. I think it's also very important because over time we've seen the treatments for HIV simplify drastically. So although, you know, in the early days this was much more complicated to treat somebody, it's actually much simpler now. And so really a lot of primary care providers are actually taking a larger role in actually offering HIV care. So we want to take an initial look at and really begin to document exactly what is actually happening out there in the world of primary care related to HIV services. So one of the things that we did, and through this sort of analysis, we've gone through the results that we got. Well, actually, let me go on to this first. So just a little bit more about the survey. It was fielded in the fall of 2009. We offered it online, but we also had paper surveys that were available at conferences and a few other places. We had 883 U.S. respondents. Interestingly, at one of the conferences we went to, they had a large international attendance at that conference, and so we actually have this international subset that we really haven't done anything with yet, but we also have some international providers that responded. We distributed this through health centers, through Medscape, which is one of the largest CME providers for physicians, Viral Ed, again, some of the conferences such as ICAC and CROI, and also using some marketing data we targeted towards providers that are providing at least two or more antiretroviral prescriptions per year. So what we did for this particular analysis is we looked at the respondents and broke them down as to whether they identified they practiced in an urban, suburban, or rural non-urban setting. Now this is actually self-identified by the individual provider. And so one of the things that we looked at is essentially is, first of all, are you treating HIV within your practice? And one of the things that we found out is actually about 72% of providers that respondents in an urban setting indicated that they actually are treating individuals or monitoring, I should note the difference, that in some cases they may be monitoring the HIV but referring to a specialist who's doing the actual prescribing of the antiretrovirals. So 72% in the urban setting indicated that they were treating or seeing patients with HIV within their practice. Compared to 51% that are indicating that they see it, seeing patients in a rural or non-urban setting. And so we actually thought that was actually very encouraging and very surprising that a large number. Anecdotally, we had always heard that a lot of times when you have an individual in a rural setting, they often have to travel pretty far to go ahead and get care and to reach an HIV specialist. And so one of the things we seem to be starting to see is that a lot of folks are being able to get care within their own particular communities. We asked providers how their HIV caseload has changed over the year. And in general, what we saw is that a lot of folks have identified that their caseloads are increasing. Particularly 38% of urban providers indicated that they saw an increase in HIV patients, and 9% said they saw a drastic increase in HIV, seeing HIV patients. In a rural or non-urban setting, about 4% said they indicated they saw a drastic increase in the number of HIV patients, and 24% said they did see an increase. So across the board, they're seeing more folks that are, providers are seeing more patients with HIV. One of the other questions we asked is whether or not, what is the makeup of your patient, your caseloads. And one of the things particularly we were looking at people of color and how many folks are serving a minority population. Within urban settings, they indicated that over 56% of respondents indicated that their patient population was over 50% persons of color. In a rural, non-urban setting, 31% of respondents indicated that the majority of their caseload were persons of color. One of the other questions that we went ahead and we asked for the providers was whether or not they could serve as a medical home for people with HIV. And we found, largely in urban settings, 75% of folks felt that they could actually serve as a medical home for people living with HIV. But what's also very encouraging is that in the urban setting, in the rural non-urban setting, that we still see about 63% of the respondents indicated that they felt that they had the capacity to serve as a medical home for people that are living with HIV. Another piece that we found encouraging is that one of the questions that we asked is that if the CDC recommendations for routine testing were fully implemented and the large number of individuals that are unaware of their status or have fallen out of care, if they were identified and brought back into care, one of the questions was, can you actually handle that increase in your caseload? So one of the things that we found is that overall, in an urban setting, 30% of the folks identified that they were somewhat likely, 30% indicated they were very likely, and 31% indicated they were extremely likely to be able to handle that increase in number of folks living with HIV coming onto their caseloads. But we're also seeing some really strong results coming out of the rural or non-urban setting as well. 31% of those providers indicated that they could handle an increase in their HIV patient caseload, 29% very likely, and 22% extremely likely. So another thing that we looked at, and this is the one thing that I think we'd like to see a little an increase in, is we looked at what are the different HIV services that are actually being provided to individuals for these different providers. And so in some ways, though, HIV testing, I think, is one of the key ones. And really only about, in an urban setting, only 49% of the providers identified indicated that they were offering regular HIV testing, routine HIV testing to their patient, compared to 40% in suburban and 41% in a rural setting. So in many ways, they're all kind of floating kind of close in there together, but still this is a place where we would like to see a dramatic increase. In terms of things like such as prescribing ARVs, you see 30% of providers identified that they were prescribing ARVs. 27% in suburban settings indicated that they were prescribing, and 28% in rural settings. And in some cases, that particular one could also be due to the fact that some of these providers may actually just simply be monitoring the HIV and actually referring out to a specialist who is actually going ahead and doing the prescription. But I think across the board, we would like to see increases in the number of services that are actually being provided to individuals living with HIV. One of the other questions we went ahead and asked them is basically, what do you think the needs of your patients are that are living with HIV? What are some of the things that you think that they really need? Interestingly, the number one need among urban settings and both in rural non-urban settings was mental health care. So 35% of providers in an urban setting indicated that mental health care was an important need for their patients, that their patients needed, and 25% indicated that in a rural, non-urban setting. ARVs was the second piece. 34% indicated the need for ARV treatment in an urban setting, compared to 22% in a rural, non-urban setting. Oh, 5 minutes. Okay, so I'm going to run through all this. So bottom line on this is that I think there are some encouraging pieces to this. So I think the fact that 51% of rural providers are indicated that they are already treating folks that are living with HIV or monitoring folks that are living with HIV. The fact that 63% of providers in rural settings are able to say that they can serve as a medical home for people living with HIV. And the fact that 82% of the providers indicated they are extremely, very, or somewhat likely to be able to accommodate new folks identified with HIV. One other thing I would just wanted to kind of note just kind of quickly here, one of the projects that we also did through HRSA is the Supporting Networks of HIV Care by Enhancing Primary Medical Care. So one of those lovely HRSA terms. And so basically, this is the capacity building program that we are doing for primary care providers. This program has actually ended, and is actually we've been refunded for it, and it's going to differ a little bit. But we looked at what are some of the different TA requests we are getting across primary care settings. And one of the big things we noticed is that overall, the number one request we're getting is around access and linkages, grant writing, and continuous quality improvement. But then when we looked at it based upon rural sites, we saw that continuous quality improvement was the number one request for technical assistance, followed by cultural competency, and then protocol development, staff development, and outreach. I'm going to skip over suburban quickly and look at for urban settings. We really saw that, again, continuous quality improvement was the number one request for technical assistance, followed by protocol development, access and linkage to care, staff development, and cultural competency. So bottom line here, I think we do see that that this is actually I'm going to skip over this one quickly. So basically, just a few lessons learned on this basically is that we thought that the survey brought up some interesting questions, and we thought it was an interesting first start. Unfortunately, with any survey like this, despite our best efforts to develop the survey instrument, to pilot, to do all that stuff, we still end up at the fact that we come out the other end going, why did we ask that? Why didn't we ask this? And so I think we definitely have learned a lot from this, and we're going to be able to structure a better instrument going forward. One of the key things that we know is that primary care environment is definitely very dynamic. It's changing, particularly with the Affordable Care Act, and we're seeing increases in the number of folks that'll be seeking primary care, so that's going to be an issue also going forward. Obviously, one of the key things through our technical assistance request is that continuous quality improvement remains a key area for medical education. And again, there is a continued need for our capacity building within primary care settings to go ahead and increase their ability to do primary care. So essentially, we're working right now on the next iteration of this, and we're hoping to get into more detail around issues around workforce, looking again across different provider types. So whether you're getting your care through from a HIV specialist versus a primary care provider, or whether you're getting your care through a nurse practitioner or a physician's assistant, and so really identifying what are some of the differences are and what are some of the additional needs are. Continuing to explore training and education needs, impacts of different policies, such as the Affordable Care Act and different things that are having on the primary care setting. As I mentioned, we are going to be continuing our capacity building programs. We are now funded as an AETC, so we are now the National Center for HIV Care in Minority Communities, and so our project will be continuing forward, and we'll be continuing to offer medical education. So there's contact information for Javier and for Connie, who are the two primary contacts for folks on this particular survey. I also want to acknowledge Christine Stewart, who is sitting in the back, and she actually is the program manager on the AETC program. So that's it.
We have a minute or so for questions.
Yes. That's a very good question, and I apologize that I don't know why. I apologize. That's a basic question. I should have that data, and I don't have it at the moment. But if you can actually give me your contact information, I will get that to you. So.
In general, do you know about representativeness of your responses?
Unfortunately, it's a convenient sample, so it really is. It's not necessarily going to be the most representative. We really just, it was open to anyone and everyone to go ahead and to fill out, just to kind of get a general sense about what's going on. We would, as we move forward with this, and we would like to make this a little bit more of a rigorous survey, and really as we take it forward, so we can get a little bit more of that. We try to get a decent representativeness, but we're a little bit skewed more towards the urban.